Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Previously.tv Podcast Network.
What the hell is this?
It's March.
Donna Martin graduates, or none of us do.
Want to come?
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210 edition. Today's episode is Season 3, Episode 28, Something in the Air. And now here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Oh my God. So we just finished recording the prom episode like 5 minutes ago. Dave told us it was the longest episode ever of Again With This Beverly Hills 90210 edition.
Prepare to have that record broken anon.
No kidding. So before
also the Something in the Air is farts. That's why I'm laughing.
Before we get into it, I feel like we should mention a lot of important business. One is that you can buy ads on this podcast. It's $50 for a personal message, like a birthday greeting or just a shout out to a friend. $100 for a commercial message if you have a product or service to sell. We can do all the ad prep for you. If you want to send us something, we can just play it, or, you know, give us some guidelines and we can come up with something on our own. Also, if you go to glarkware.com, glarkware.com, there are several shirts of interest there for fans of this podcast. Mad, Bad, and Dangerous to Know, Don't Be Such a Squeef, of course, and The Blaze. A lot of parents read it. So check that out. Support us and support this podcast. Yes, Dave.
As a testament to our business prowess.
Every time I forget.
Previously.tv/ads.
Yes, that's where you go for ad information. I am not good at this. Speaking of not good at this, Donna Martin graduates. So it's this is going to be a big, big episode. I'm really excited. Actually, watching it again, I was excited to talk about it with you, and I'm not even joking. So much happens. So after prom, shit is weird between Andre and Brandon. He acts all hurt that he called her and she didn't call him back, and she explains in clip number 2.
The reason I didn't call you back is because I didn't stop what was going on in the hotel room. I started it, and you stopped it.
Come on, Andre, we've been around this track too many times. I didn't want us to do anything we were going to regret.
Brandon, you're right. You're absolutely right, but if I don't do something that I'm going to regret soon, I am going to scream.
All right. First of all, we didn't really talk about this aspect of it in the last episode, but aren't you seeing Jordan? Why are you cheating on Jordan? First of all, he's awesome. Second of all, that's shady.
Yeah. Especially since, as far as we know at this point, You're both going to Yale.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like a tiny school, but still awkward.
Right.
And I had totally forgotten until we were subjected to this weirdness That this was like a big cliffhanger at the time, I think. Like, did they or didn't they?
Right.
And, I mean, they didn't. Cause
they didn't. However, as I said in our last podcast, when he's like, there's no one else I would rather be here with, like, that's, you know, he's kind of leading her on, or at least giving the impression that, like, he's interested in doing something. But in addition to that, like, obviously, I feel like they left that scene off with, like, the awkward laughing of, you know, her basically propositioning him and him essentially laughing about it, like, no. But so what are we supposed to think happened off screen that, like, she was like, I started something and you stopped it? Like, what is this cop-out bullshit? Like,
well, and also, he's always the one who starts it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He started it this time, I think. Like,
yeah.
You know, granted, like, his prom invitation was not very romantic, but, like, the whole rest of the night, he was like, you look really beautiful, and there's no one else I'd rather be here with. Like, I don't think it would have been unreasonable for her to think that he was, you know, trying to flirt with her because it seemed pretty flirty, even if he was sort of perfunctory in his manner about it. But I'm mostly mad that, like, whatever happened, we don't get to see it. Like, what is this, Downton Abbey? All the important stuff has to happen off screen? Bullshit.
Well, and then where we left it, she was, like, nestled on his chest.
Yeah. On a hotel bed.
Like, yeah. On a jizzy hotel bedspread, like, just sniffing a rose, NBD.
Sniffing a rose and whatever else. The other thing is that, sorry. I'm sorry, I'm not that sorry, though. The other thing is that I think this was, like, the start of trying to maybe get them to finally be a couple on the show, but this has always been my crackpot theory about it, that when Gabrielle Carteris got pregnant for real in season 4, then they couldn't, they had to stop that because Brandon, the perfect golden child, couldn't have gotten a girl pregnant out of wedlock. But other, if not for that, I think they would have ended up together.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good theory. Although I sort of will never understand why, you know, why they ended up having to, like, the styles of the time would have allowed her to fly under the radar with that, I think.
Yeah, they could have. Although they had her not be pregnant for a pretty long time trying to hide it, which when it was after it was obvious. But, like, people have been on the forums talking about this, too, of, like, the many ways they could have written her out. Once they knew that she was going to be pregnant, like, she decides to go to Yale after all. And then she's the one who gets the storyline of, like, she hates it and comes back. But she could have just been off screen or just, like, phoning occasionally for that whole time. And it would have made more sense, probably.
Yeah.
And well, it would have left more possibilities for her character, too. But we will get to all that in season 4.
But that would have deprived us of her indescribably fucking hideous wedding attire.
Oh, God. The boots. I just remembered the boots.
Boots.
The beerfs.
Beerf.
All right. So, at school, David is mopey in the DJ booth when Donna enters, very embarrassed and scared, although her dress down in shame is, like, the best that she's ever looked on the show. She's in a very cute...
I know, that sweater is adorable.
Super cute. It's like a sort of a take on the American flag, which, you know, I'm into flag things, and it just looks good on her, and she just looks, like, casual and, like, a normal teenager. Like, she looks comfortable for a change, so, you know, shame looks good on her, I guess. Anyway... Apparently, Felice is blaming Mel for Donna's scandal. She doesn't know she's going to get suspended. David is pretty sure everything will blow over on the basis of how tight Felice is with the school board membership, which is probably a reasonable assumption to make. And then Brenda is outside reporting to everyone else that Donna must not be suspended. She's there. And there's more speculation about her likely fate. Kelly, when Donna herself comes out, Kelly tries to cheer her up by putting Donna in a cap and gown. But then... Gil comes out to say that Mrs. Teasley wants to see Donna in her office immediately. So David walks her there, and she freaks out as soon as she sees her parents there, including, for the very first time ever, Dr. Martin, often spoken of, never seen until today. David supports
the
Donna.
Cuckold.
Seriously. David supports Donna for about 10 seconds before getting scared and bailing, which is, like, the most teenager-y thing about this episode. And maybe rightly so, because Felice goes from zero to bitch in the second in clip number 3.
I'm sorry, Daddy.
It's a little late for that.
You can let some of them go by, Felice. It's okay. But yeah. No, she can't. Dr. Martin is surprised, nicer to Donna than Felice is, warmly telling her to save her apologies for the school official and, like, giving her a kiss and being a nice dad. It's cute. And so in Mrs. Teasley's office, she introduces Dr. Ephart. He makes Donna prove that she understands what words mean in clip number 4.
Donna, last week an announcement was made in one of your classes. Did you hear it?
Yes.
In that case, I'd like you to tell us what you understood it to mean.
That if anyone was drunk at prom, they wouldn't be able to graduate.
That's the gist of it. Were you drunk, Donna?
I don't know.
You don't know? Mrs. Teasley said you collapsed on the floor of the lobby of the Bellagio Hotel, that in fact you were so drunk you could barely make it to the car.
I don't exactly remember.
Well, let's start earlier in the evening. What do you remember? Do you remember how much you had to drink?
I just had 2 glasses of champagne.
2 glasses?
2. Maybe 3.
Where did you have these 2? Or 3 glasses?
At a pre-prom party at a friend's house. His father poured a little bit for everyone who wasn't driving. I hadn't eaten all day, Mr. Ephart. I didn't know it would hit me like that.
All right. So, way to sell it, Mel, first of all. That's not really cool.
Second of all, this interrogation goes on and on. Like, facts are in evidence.
Right.
Just suspend her or don't, but get on with it.
I mean, they are and they aren't. As you said in the last podcast, like, it only comes up later that someone mentions, like, did anyone ever actually prove that Donna was drunk? Because, no, they don't. And the other thing is that, like, it makes no sense that the Martins would not have a lawyer here, except that having one there would just complicate the storyline so much that, you know, it would, a lot of stuff just wouldn't happen for reasons that is why you get a lawyer. Like, the lawyer would be asking these questions instead of us having to do it.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's obviously,
or they would just, you know, stop just short of threatening, if they even stopped short of threatening,
mm-hmm,
to sue.
Yeah.
She wasn't allowed to walk because it's like, well, you can't prove this, so you can't take this action.
Right. It's not like they had a breathalyzer at the prom. Like, there's,
exactly,
you know, yes, it is obvious that she was drunk, and she was, but, you know, they still don't have concrete proof of that. Anyway, after confirming that Donna does know the legal drinking age in California, to which Dr. Martin snits that no one sold her alcohol and minimizes the crime as some wine at a private home, which is true, Dr. Ephart says that Donna is suspended and her ultimate fate will be decided at his disciplinary hearing that night. So at the Blaze, Toby is disgusted in clip number 5.
What is the matter with you two? Donna Martin practically throws up on the principal's shoes, gets thrown out of school, and you don't want to write about it in the Blaze.
I mean, you know, someone should. It shouldn't be Brandon and Andrea for obvious conflict of interest reasons.
Also, but Brandon keeps forgetting that he even works at the Blaze, so
I can't believe he's even there for this conversation.
Yeah, like, why are they even there at all? Like, second semester, the junior should have taken over. Like,
yeah, true.
Whatever.
Well, they're trying to, as we hear. So Gil says the issue is locked, but Howard has an answer for that in clip number 6.
Well, I say stop the presses, or we publish an extra. Hell, you two should be writing an eyewitness account. You were there.
We were not.
I thought you and Brandon were sitting at Donna's table.
We were. We just weren't actually there when it actually came down.
Oh, what'd you two do, get a room or something?
That's funny.
No, it isn't.
So, Howard, don't waste your breath. They just want to publish the usual treacle. A nice, bland senior edition with the cute little senior poll, cute little senior wills, just like all the rest of the fluff they've published this year.
You know, I resent that.
You know, in a sick way, what's happening to Donna Martin is an appropriate epitaph for the dead spirit of the entire class of 93. Over now.
Okay, this
and then everyone French
electric guitar.
That cue is on every scene.
Every
it's like,
scene,
something, something legal, whatever mores, and then is
so
everyone supposed to start Frenching out of like civic, fiery civic feeling?
Yeah, I don't know. I think that
also,
they must have been sharing a composer with Melrose Place because that's what
oh
that
my god,
like to
totally.
Me. Anyway,
this is like the totally the Jake lick.
Mm-hmm.
although after Jizzy's bedspread, where else can I go?
Nowhere.
Not to a hotel.
Nope.
This whole, I had forgotten that this was like the MacGuffin, was like Toby accusing them of having no like interest in public affairs or whatever.
I know, it's so weird.
This is what has to get the ball rolling with our glorious tiny leader, is that he has to like somehow rescue not only Donna, who fucking broke the rule, but also the reputation of the entire class of 93 for being like apathetic Gen Xers or something.
At literally the last moment that they could rescue their reputation, like school is over tomorrow.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's dumb.
And why are they even taking okay.
Okay, so moving on. At Jackie's, she's on the phone yelling at Mel awesomely in clip number 7.
Mel, what were you thinking giving those kids champagne? Somebody ought to have you arrested.
Jackie! really, I just love how mad she is. David and Kelly comes home. He defends Mel. Kelly joins in saying that Mel didn't get anyone drunk, which is sort of true, but he also wasn't really paying attention to how much anyone was drinking either. Jackie drops it and changes the subject to the fact that someone finally bought their house. Escrow closes in 10 days, inconveniently. Kelly and David are horrified, Kelly pouting that this is a crappy graduation present, but only David is actually a snotty dick about it in clip number 8.
Has anyone ever told you you have really lousy timing?
Has anyone ever told you you're living with me out of the courtesy of my good heart and that I could
instead
live in
of with
shitty...
your dad and his bachelor yacht? With this 5-foot ceilings, like
the Doheny palms never. Of sadness. Like, do you want to live there? Because you can. Shut the fuck
the
up.
The Doheny palms of sadness.
Anyway, at the Martins, Dr. Martin says their lawyer, Gordon, shout out, wants to be at the hearing there. But Felice doesn't want a lawyer at all because she's friends with the board members, as I already said, as fucking if. But I guess they had to have a reason for her not to have a lawyer. And I suppose that one is. One, I guess. Anyway, Donna walks in on them arguing, and this happens. Clip number 9.
A simple mea culpa. It's not going to make this thing go away.
This is so humiliating for me.
I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry this is so horrible for you.
All right.
But what else can I say? How do you think
True.
I feel? I'm the one who isn't going to graduate.
Well, I guess you should have thought of that before you got drunk.
Mom, yeah.
Everyone so drank. Why do you think
so?
Vlad gave us quarters for the telephone?
Donna, you passed out in front of the vice principal.
I mean, she just fell down.
Honey, I want you to go upstairs and get dressed, all right? We don't want to be late for the meeting. Go ahead.
Okay, Daddy.
Would you please try to find something dignified to wear?
I.e. not the knitted shorts that don't cover your butt cheeks. Thanks.
What she goes with is, in my opinion, too low cut and too short. See it in our visual aids.
That's the next one. This one is she's in something that looks like she's a school secretary. It's like a long skirt and a blazer.
Oh yeah, that thing. Yeah. You're right. And then the like military patch pockety thing.
Mm, yep. It's very like your first job interview when you were 18. It's like it's that
yep.
outfit. And the jacket is like this weird putty color. It's like so down the line of like not offensive and not memorable. That's the first outfit. I agree with you that the next one is too low cut and definitely too short, but we'll get to it. So at the Peach Pit, everyone's talking about Donna's ordeal and whether they should go to this meeting. Donna, of course, knows where everyone is because they never go anywhere else. And so she calls there with a report, which Brenda goes to take, even though Donna's boyfriend is present in clip number 10.
I lost. They won't let me graduate with you guys.
Oh, Donna.
I'm suspended for 5 days and then I can come back. But I can't participate in graduation or any other senior activities.
Good.
I'm so sorry.
And I have to go to summer school to August. And then I can get my diploma. And I have to go into a substance abuse program at the Maple Center.
You? You don't have a drinking problem.
Maybe I do.
Donna, that's ridiculous. This whole thing is ridiculous.
I know, but my parents won't even appeal. Mother says that I deserve it.
You do.
Maybe I do.
Yeah, not maybe.
But that's just not fair.
Sure it is.
I just want to get my diploma with you guys.
We're with you, Donna. Just hold it together, okay?
All right, Sarah, I'm going to turn this over to you at this point because you've already written about this and we'll link it in the show notes, but just share your thoughts on what a just punishment for Donna would be, please.
My school would have expelled me, no questions asked. Mm-hmm. And I went there for 12 years. But it is a rule. It is a law. Everyone was aware. Now that Donna has admitted that she had some drinks in the presence of the superintendent and the vice principal and her parents.
Without a lawyer,
like, yes, they could threaten to sue, but since the show isn't going in that direction, like, getting suspended, especially the end of senior year, it's so bullshitty.
Yeah,
like,
who cares?
The only thing you're really worried about is whether they're going to, like, call your college, which if you already told them that you're coming, they probably don't care that much.
Right.
Like, maybe if you were, like, borderline admission, I don't even know.
And also, but, like, for getting drunk, like, I doubt any college would care. It's not like she was selling heroin at school. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Like, and she's also acting like, you know, she's been stricken with whatever that, whatever the cancer was in that Lily Sobieski movie. Like, neoma. Like, that's not a thing. Like, you got drunk, you passed out. I guess it's bad luck that you got... I don't know. Like, I was the one arrested for possession when I smoked the least pot of anyone. It was perfectly fair. It's against the law. The cops came. Tough shit.
Yeah.
And again, my school would have expelled me. Like, no suspension, no, like, picking it up at the office in August. None of that. Bye.
Yeah. Also, what is she... I don't understand. Like, I have to go to summer school for what? Like, to finish the last week of your classes? It's already finals. Like, I don't know what she would be taking other than shame class.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and can't you just roll the, can't you just send her to AA at school as summer school and then.
Yeah.
I don't, this shit happens all the time. Yeah. Kids have to do the, like, whatever, backdoor, teehee, diploma all the time. Like, she's 18. She did something stupid.
Yeah.
It's not a cause. It's just not.
Mm-hmm. It's not, except. It's about to be.
Yeah. And I wrote about this 3 years ago, almost to the day, on previously.tv. Mm-hmm. And I stand by everything that I said. And the crazy part, well, there's a bunch of crazy parts. But the, like, Superintendent Ephart makes all of our points, but we're supposed to think that he's being this,
he's
like,
the villain.
Unreasonable, no. Draconian. He's like, I should call all the admissions offices and I should call the cops. And it's like, yeah, you fucking should. It's mob rule in here. All right, we'll get to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So Brenda returns to the table with the bad news and everyone feels ways about it in clip 11.
Mrs. Martin is totally caving. They're not even going to file an appeal.
She's got a lot of integrity, that police.
Maybe we should tell them we were all drinking Saturday night.
What, are you crazy? What good would that do?
Well, if they could see that Donna wasn't the only one.
They'd throw us all out of school, David.
Look, they all know we were together. She just better not name names.
Donna wouldn't do that, you know it.
Well, I guess this is all pretty hopeless then, isn't it?
Yeah, especially up against those lip service hypocrites on the school board.
Guys, I love Donna. I'd love to hang out here all night, but I gotta study for the finals.
Me too.
He doesn't really love Donna that much, by the way.
He doesn't.
We're about to find,
Mickey
might
not even know which
one
she is.
We're about to find out how much he doesn't care about Donna, by the way. Everyone else heads out, but Brandon, who's a pretty liberal guy, in case you haven't heard, is already hatching a plan to prove he's better than his peers in clip 12.
Wait, sir. Are we all just wimping out here?
You mean were Howard and Toby right about us?
Yeah. You and I both know the only thing Donna did that we all didn't do was get caught.
But Brandon, at this point, that is totally irrelevant. I mean, they are looking to make an example of her. If there's not going to be an appeal, there's not a whole lot we can do about it.
Sorry. Except French.
Cut. Okay. Also, like... there's a lot of, it comes up again in this episode of like, oh, she didn't do anything. Oh, the only thing that happened was she got caught. Like, yeah, that's how rules work. Like, people do all kinds of shit and get away with it because they didn't get caught. When you do get caught, there are consequences and you have to deal with them. Like, you know, it's the same with speeding. It's the same with fucking anything. Like, getting caught is not inconsequential. That's why consequences happen. Ugh. We agree.
And Dylan's, also, you're all not getting thrown out of school.
Right.
You're getting suspended. And actually, if you all say that you drank, then you all do get to graduate together in August.
In August.
Like you're supposed to, because you fucked up.
Have your own special the gang convocation that'll be so exclusive, everyone else will want to get in on it and say that they drank too. Sigh. At Dylan's, Kelly can't study because she can't stop thinking about Donna and how her parents are selling her out, which Jackie wouldn't do to Kelly, which is true. Dylan says that's because Jackie is cool, and Kelly says she's so cool she's letting Kelly stay over at Dylan's. Well, she didn't exactly, but she's so stressed out about moving that Kelly's pretty sure she just didn't hear her ask. Talk turns to Berkeley.
Speaking of not getting caught, Jesus.
Yeah. Talk to Mr. Berkeley. No one cares. Dylan wants to study to make sure that he gets in, but Kelly wants to eat his face instead, and so she does. Mel's apology tour takes him to the Walsh house, where it's maybe more of an apology tour. Clip number 13.
I hope I didn't do anything to offend either of you. In my family, we always served a little wine to celebrate a special occasion. I had no idea what effect Donna that way.
Hey, it's all right.
I'm going over there tonight to apologize to Donna's parents.
And try and get him to appeal this whole thing.
Good luck. Felice Martin's a very stubborn woman.
Well, I may not like Felice's politics, but I suppose I owe her an apology.
You suppose?
After all, if this is anybody's fault, it's mine.
You know, we all drank that night. None of the rest of us got sick.
Wait a minute. Has it occurred to anybody that nobody's even bothered to prove Donna was drunk? Maybe she had a virus. If this was a real courtroom, someone would at least have to ask that question.
Yeah, well, it sounds like unless her parents appeal, no one's going to have a chance to ask any questions.
Except why we're not Frenching right now. Why saxophone? And okay, get ready, everybody. Buckle up. Mm-hmm. I agree. Good point, Brandon.
Yeah, it is.
Dun, dun, dun.
Next up, the Martin Mance in clip 14.
Hello, Felice. May we come in?
No, you may not.
Yeah, Felice!
Hello, Felice.
She's such a bitch, but, you know.
Tell me about the lambs, Felice.
It is her right to not let the person who got her child drunk into her house. I get
And whoever foleyed the subsequent door slam, well done, sir or madame.
So Mel launches into his apology, which is actually pretty sincere, more so than what he said at the Walsh house was. But Felice is trying to hear it. There was a rule. Donna broke it, the end, as we've already said. But Donna overhears and whinily inserts herself into the conversation in clip 15.
I don't understand, Mom. Dr. Silver's right. Why aren't we appealing this?
Because you're guilty.
I just want to graduate with my friends. Please, Mom.
Donna, listen to me. I have done everything in my power. I have used all my influence with the board, and nothing has worked. Now, I refuse to put this family or you through any further humiliation.
You can't forgive me, can you, Mom? That's what this is really about. It's not about the board, it's about you. You're great at making the rules, but you don't exactly live by them.
What is that supposed to
mean? Come on, Mom, do you really want me to have to say it?
No.
You had an affair, do you remember that?
Donna!
You were just having some harmless fun. In fact, it was at the Bellagio Hotel, just like me. And just like me, you got caught. I caught
that
you.
That has nothing to do
with... Yes, it has something to do with this.
Not really.
This is about forgiveness.
No, it isn't.
Daddy and I forgave you. Why can't you just forgive me?
In Spain.
The mandolin. It's so sad.
In a gondola.
The fact, I mean, it's one thing for everyone else to be like, why aren't her parents appealing? But for Donna to be like, why aren't we appealing? Because you're guilty. Like, there's... The end. Like, what is the grounds for your appeal? I don't want to be suspended? That's not how it works.
I mean, you could appeal and be like, okay, in exchange for not pressing the point that nobody has offered, like, substantive real proof that
sure.
I was drunk and didn't
yes.
just, like, eat a bad bite of Clams Casino.
Uh-huh.
We would like to negotiate for a lesser sentence, including, like, only having to go to half the classes or, like...
Right.
Something mm-hmm. like sure there's an appeal to be made,
right?
But what I hate is that the show, I mean, whatever, I've said it a million times, I will not be stopping, p.s. like that the show wants us to believe that because it's Donna and because Brandon thinks it's unfair, that's a good enough reason to overturn this ruling, which
right.
is perfectly reasonable given what we heard at the top of the last episode. Like
yep. Agree.
And you drink after. Everybody knows. You drink after.
Yeah, everyone does know. Even
Mel should have known that too, actually.
He really should have. Yes. If he wanted to do anything, he could have given them champagne to have after prom. Anyway, the next day at school, Steve rolls into the office to see Brandon, Andrea, and Dylan already having been summoned. Steve assumes that Donna dined out on them. And Andrea sounds like maybe she does too, which is weird and out of character for her. And then Brenda and David and Kelly are there, too. David asks, what are we going to tell them? 3 inches from the reception desk, like, who let all these obvious co-conspirators there together unattended to get their story straight? So anyway, then they get their story straight in clip 16.
Steve.
Well, what are we going to tell him?
Nothing. We're going to tell him nothing.
Steve, if Don already said that we were drinking, there's no use in lying to them.
Hey, come on. It's her word against ours, right?
No, Steve, you're missing the point, man. We're here to corroborate. They want to talk to us so they can build a case against Donna.
You really think they would do that? I think they'd do anything at this point.
So, guys, we tell them nothing, okay?
That's right. That's my point exactly.
What? I'm sorry. Maybe I get Steve's point. Mm-hmm. Deny, deny, deny.
Right.
And I get Brandon's point, which is everyone do as I say, because Brandon.
Yeah.
What the fuck is Dylan talking about?
Yeah, I don't know. Like, build a case against Donna? They've already ruled. Like, there's no more case to be made against her. Anyway, out comes Mrs. Teasley. She knows they were all with Donna at prom, but she's assembled them not to grill them, but to give them good news. The Martins changed their mind and will appeal after all, and the appeal is the next morning. So she thought they might want to write letters on Donna's behalf since they can't go to the hearing in person, what with finals and all. Andrea says they have to write letters that will tear the board members' hearts out, but Dylan says they all know the letters won't do shit and is almost certainly right if Andrea's letters are anything to go by. Clip 17.
Donna has always been a leader, helping students less fortunate than herself. Oh, Brandon. Break. Why does this sound so... I don't know, just...
useless?
Exactly.
Brandon, can I talk to you for a second in the hallway?
Sure. No.
Your instincts are right, you know. What?
Well, they are.
Donna's being railroaded here. This hearing is
no, nothing
but
a not. Can't move.
So what do we do?
Now, nothing.
What do you do?
Nothing.
I've been asking myself that same question all day. Listen,
nothing.
When the Supreme Court hears a case, thousands of people march on Washington in support of whatever side they're on. Change the world, start with the school board.
You mean we should have some kind of demonstration?
You figure it out. I've already said no to get me fired.
Wait a minute, Gil. West Beverly is the most apathetic school in America, and the class of 93 is the most apathetic class in the school. Nobody's going to march anywhere except maybe to a sale at Fred Siegel's.
Listen, they would if they had a leader. You know, Brandon, when I first met you, that's what I thought you were.
Sarah.
I mean,
the episode goes on to treat this like Brandon's this firebrand when it was seriously like Gil spoon feeding him the like, here is how you protest, like whatever.
Spoon feeding it to Brandon out in the hall, out of earshot of the chick. The fuck is that?
Yeah, it's bullshit.
The whole thing is bullshit.
Of
She's
course.
Not being railroaded.
No.
She broke the rule.
It's a fair cop. She did it. Anyway, so then Brandon, having been handed this solution, goes straight to his dad's office to get permission to do civil disobedience in clip 18.
Remember when you were in college in the 60s and there were all the Vietnam War demonstrations?
Yeah.
You went, right?
It goes.
Oh, sure. Everybody did. Yeah, it was a thing to do.
Everybody?
Oh, yeah. I remember taking a bus down to Chicago for the moratorium. Must have been over 100,000 people in Grant Park. Of course, when the cops came, it thinned out a little bit.
Cool story?
Brandon, what's going on?
Dad, I'm thinking about doing something that could get me in a lot of trouble, and I thought maybe I should tell you about it before I did it.
What are you planning?
Someone's got to stand up for Donna, Dad.
No, they don't.
Just do me one favor, Brandon. Don't get yourself arrested.
Again. Also, don't bring the car, so I have to have it fixed. Again. And can I just talk about how much I fucking hate Brandon's, like, disingenuous little baby voice that he uses in situations like this?
I know.
I thought I should tell you about it first.
Fuck off.
Also, Jim's answer is so terrible. Like, oh, yeah, it was the thing to do. Oh, that's why you protested? Because it seemed cool? That's not a good answer at all.
Especially, like, Chicago is not, like, right there. Pretty big trip to make to, like, have to pee outside and, like, were you trying to get laid? Just say that. It's fine. It's what I think a lot of people were doing back in the 60s.
Sure. But, yeah. So then Brandon has to go and find Andrea at the library and mansplain protest to her in clip 19.
We have finals tomorrow. We can't do this.
Don't you see? Finals are the key to this whole thing.
We get the entire senior class to walk out on finals and march on the school board. Think about it. No one takes finals. No one graduates.
What, free Donna or fail us all?
What do you think? So why do you look so nervous?
Because I have a lot at stake here. So do a lot of other kids. I mean, who's going to take that kind of risk?
Andrea, we at least have to try.
Brandon, if I don't take finals tomorrow, I can't be valedictorian.
Oh, come on, Andrea. You're the one who's always saying you want to make a mark around here, that the class of 93 should be remembered for something. Do you really want to be valedictorian of a class that hasn't done a single noteworthy thing all year?
Okay, again with this sudden narrative about how apathetic their class is. Like, I thought they were pretty self-congratulatory about all the shit they did for the kids at Alvarado Street.
Yeah, Alvarado Street, drag racing, ring bus. Like,
yeah.
I feel like they were, you know, cheating on each other. They're pretty busy. Is A. B. This grade grubber would have told Brandon to stick it before he even opened his mouth.
Yeah, I probably wouldn't have done it either, honestly.
No, God, me neither.
Unless I knew, like, every single other person was doing it, but, like, there's no way. There would have obviously been holdouts. Like, what is the tipping point where the school decides, like, yes, enough of them have done it that we have to acknowledge it? Whatever. This is all moot point because we know what is about to happen, but...
Well, yeah, but, again, if they walk out on the finals, fail them.
Right. Yeah.
And then they really don't graduate. Like, all right, bluff called.
Mm-hmm.
See you in the summer.
Yeah.
The only reason not to do this is because it's, like, budgetarily unfeasible for a big city's school system to absorb this kind of unexpected event.
Yeah.
But, of course, that's not brought up. It's all about how everyone loves Donna. Fluffy, fluffy hand job.
Right. Ugh. Well, Dylan does bring it up, like, about summer school enrollment, which we'll hear. But, yes, that's just incidentally. Well, anyway.
Yeah, and also it's said so smugly that...
Seriously. So then Andrea and Brandon have to go to the Peach Pit and sell this to the gang. Steve freaks out as he reminds them all that he's on probation, and then Brandon has to crank up the Bray machine at him in clip 20.
Oh,
Steve, bro, it's time to lay it on the line, and not just for Donna, but because what they're trying to do here is wrong.
Brandon, get in the real world, man. Nobody is going to go along with this. So she goes to summer school. She'll graduate in August. Nobody's going to blow their finals so she can wear a cap and a gown.
That's not what this is about, Dylan. This is about making a statement, being heard. It's about trying to do something, even if it doesn't work.
What about you? Silver, what about you? You going to ditch the finals and miss your chance of getting out of this place a year early?
Yeah, for Donna, I would.
So would I.
All right, I'll do it. Let's hit the phones.
You guys are crazy.
Maybe we are, but Donna's my best friend. You heard Brandon, she would do that for anybody here.
Don't you understand where I'm coming from here? I mean, for the first time in my life, I finally have some direction. I know what I want to do. I got to do good on those exams. I'm sorry.
I don't think anyone should be apologizing to.
Where are you going? I thought you were going to come over.
I've got calls to make now.
You would arguably be doing good by helping Donna rather than doing well on your exams, Dylan.
Yeah. Also, that's not the point. What they're trying to do here is enforce a rule underpinned by federal law that she broke. This is not fucking Watergate. Oh my God. And then Kelly being all like, I can't believe it. Donna would do it for you. Like,
Donna
why?
Can barely read. It doesn't matter if she has to come back to school for another year. I'm just kidding. We don't actually know what Donna's learning disability is. We just know it's a learning disability. It's not that she's stupid like her parents thought.
Well,
but yeah.
She might have a drinking disability.
She might. Yeah. And the reasons that Andrea and Steve give for not participating in this protest are pretty sound. Dylan's is the dumbest. Like, I don't even know why they assigned this to this character. It doesn't scan with anything else that he's ever been about. At all.
Yeah, true.
Anyway.
Especially not, like, if he's trying to get into Berkeley.
Yeah, that's your letter. That's your, like, your essay with your application.
You should go to any protest, no matter what it's for.
Mm-hmm. Completely. So then there's a phone tree montage, and Brenda and Brandon compare notes afterwards in clip 21.
I never realized how much people care about Donna. I mean, you should have heard everybody.
I know. Everybody felt so guilty, like it could have happened to any one of them. That's what they kept saying over and over.
Do you think it's going to work?
I hope so. Otherwise, we just talked a lot of people into throwing away their high school careers for nothing.
Sex electric guitar of protest.
Let's fuck before battle. Like, what the fuck? Also, high school careers. This is not the only time this phrase comes up. Like, yeah. It's high school.
Yeah, it's just high school. So anyway, the next day, everyone is tense in clip 22.
Listen, guys, I told Donna what's going down. She said to say she loves you all.
Not, don't do this for me, we're taking legal action. Like, at no point does Donna ever say, don't do this for me, which, like, anyone would, I feel like. That's also really out of character for her.
Because I'm petty, I'd be like, if you do this for me, understand, I didn't tell you to, and when you all get your asses kicked out, I don't want to get blamed for it later.
Yeah. Also, I wouldn't do this for you. Okay, bye.
Also, do.
So they're going by 10 a.m. exactly on the classroom clock. Toby and Howard have heard about the protest and have come by to tell Brandon he sucks in clip 23.
Last week when a dress code came down, it didn't affect you. You didn't give a damn what happened at this school. Now we hear through the grapevine that there's some massive senior mobilization to save Donna Martin.
Well, you heard right.
Well, we just wanted to say we're with you.
Thanks. No,
and
don't do that.
Juniors. If you can somehow add dumping the dress code to your list of demands, you've got 300 more kids walking with you.
What do you say, guys?
I never really liked dress codes.
I say stick it to them.
Absolutely.
All right.
All right, then.
Sex electric guitar of protest. I like that they've frame it as more self-interest. Like, okay, I guess that makes sense.
Well, yeah. But, like, I love how Brandon just sort of, like, only hears the praise about the protest and not be like, oh, you're a fucking hypocrite who's tilting at a windmill that has nothing to do with you, mostly because I taunted you about having no civic spirit.
Completely.
And then he's the one who's like, what do you say, guys? Okay, we'll do it. Like, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Lame-a Goldman.
So Cindy and Jim have dressed up for a doctor's appointment. Just kidding. The hearing. And they run into Jackie outside. Jackie's suit is everything. Please go to the visual aids to check
it's
out.
It's like that Pac-Man suit that you found on Monday.
It's like the Hermes knockoff version of a Pac-Man suit. That's the best way I can describe it. So go to visual aids to see it for yourself.
Never change. Jackie forever.
So they're all there to speak for Donna, whose dress, by the way, as we've already mentioned, is way too short. It's also in the visual aids. And Mel has some words for Felice in clip 24.
Felice, I'm going to testify on Donna's behalf today, and I just want to say I think you made the right decision.
I'm so glad you think so.
Meanwhile, Dr. Martin's face next to her, like, the number of scenes where he has to stand there, like, next to Felice, being 0 degrees Kelvin, and find somewhere to put his face is amazing.
It's true.
He's just like, you can hear him shriveling.
The parents who aren't implicated in this skirmish have some thoughts as well in clip 25.
We just wanted to wish you all good luck.
Thank you.
Well, to tell you the truth, at first I was against this.
You know, Felice, I've thought an awful lot about this. You know I've had my own share of problems with drugs and alcohol. And if I really believed that making an example of Donna would convince even one kid not to drink too much, I would be leading the fight against her. But you can't scare people into sobriety. It doesn't work for kids, and it doesn't work for adults.
Well, right now, all I want is to see my daughter graduate.
Also, I don't care about anything you have to say, Jackie. I hate your guts. I mean,
Also,
yes, go ahead.
A, Jackie, don't you have a house to pack up? B, yeah. Walsh's, get jobs. Go to them. Yeah. I believe Jim has a trust to be handing over to that fuckwad.
Yep.
And surely Mrs. Walsh has some plants to be buying with Anna.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
something.
Whatever.
That said, Jackie, it makes the only decent point, I think, in this episode where she says, like, making an example of Donna is not going to do shit. It's true. Anyway, we at school hear Gil droning exam instructions as everyone watches the clock. In his classroom, the desks are in a circle, I guess the better to encourage cheating. Anyway, the bell rings, which, by the way, if 10 a.m. is when the bell goes, I don't know why Donna or Brenda brought up synchronizing watches earlier. Whatever. The bell goes. Everyone walks out except Dylan. Clip 26 is where we resume.
Well, you know what they say. If you can't beat them,
go on. Everybody else has.
Figure if I'm going to be going to Berkeley, I'm going to have to learn to do this thing anyway.
Poor Thon. I missed the part where, like, everyone walks out except for Dylan, hangs back, and then he's the only one left in the classroom. That exchange happens. So the chanting has started on the lawn at school. Like, I don't know how far away the hearing is, but presumably it's not walking distance. So, like, why is this starting now? Whatever. Brandon's happy Dylan joined them after all. At the hearing, it starts out boringly. Dr. Apphart notes and holds up the letters of support for Donna without giving any indication that they have been read. They're like two bundles of letters totally still in their envelopes with elastics wrapped around them.
Also, isn't this hearing happening the night of the Monday after?
Well, that was the first hearing where they ruled on her and this is the appeal.
Oh, okay. This is Tuesday. Days.
Yeah, yeah.
Probably. Mm-hmm. So they would have had to mail those letters like Saturday.
No. That Mrs. Teasley told them about this the day before the appeal.
She said, get
them to me by 3 p.m. or whatever. So she presumably like hand delivered them.
Well, but seriously, round file. Like, right. That doesn't seem like a bad egg. But the fact that she's like half of a school DJing team doesn't have any fucking bearing on the fact that she got ripped shit and collapsed in the lobby, or that her friends are too fucking stupid to use a back door. Why don't you write some letters about that shit?
Yeah, I would love to know, other than Andrea's, what the letters even say. Like, okay, Donna did it, but she's real nice. Like, that's not helpful.
Yeah.
Anyway,
she didn't know it was alcoholic because she's stupid.
She has a learning disability. She misread the label. I don't know. So Dr. Apphart gives Donna a chance to speak for herself, something she apparently did not prepare for, like, at all, judging by clip 27.
Ugh.
Donna, before we talk to your parents or hear from the others here, I'd like you to tell me why you think this board should consider overturning the decision of the disciplinary committee.
Because I'm sorry for what I did.
Oh, okay.
Sorry I got drunk. But all I was doing was celebrating with my friends on prom night.
Illegally.
And Dr. Silver, well, he made a toast to us. And it was really nice.
So I chugged.
And I didn't think there was anything wrong with it.
Really?
I loved being in high school.
Dick.
I love West Beverly. And I would love more than anything in this whole world to be able to walk up there and get my diploma with the rest of my class. With my friends. Please. Please believe me. I didn't plan to get drunk.
Like, that's the best you can do. Why should we let you off? Because I'm sorry? Give me a break.
Also, I loved high school. Like, great. Then you won't mind staying in another 3 months and doing your time for a rule you knew about and still broke. Oh, but it was such a nice toast. Not the point.
Nope, not the point. Also, don't mention his name on the record. I mean, I know he said he was going to testify, but still. Anyways, then we, as we can already kind of hear, the protest has made its way to the building where the meeting's actually being held. Good call. The extras are not mouthing the signature phrase in unison. Also, by the way, like, clearly they're not actually speaking anything, but they're like not in sync at all. And there's also one of the protest signs is against scapegoats, but like scape is in all caps, and then there was no room for goats, so like in tiny lowercase. It's in the visual aids.
Oh God,
it's fucking idiots! Inside, Dr. Eppart yells at Mrs. Teasley that the students outside should be taking their finals right now, and then Andrea enters respectfully to speak reasonably on behalf of the protesters. Felice asks if Donna knew anything about this, and Donna lies that she didn't, which is kind of shady, but it's Felice. Like, there's really no good way for her to get out of it and also be honest. So Andrea speaks, and that is clip 28.
Recent actions of the school board have prompted strong reactions on the part of the students at West Beverly High School. The junior and senior class refused to take finals unless Donna Martin graduates. Suspend Donna. Suspend us all.
End of episode.
That's
done
nonsense.
And done.
There are a lot of angry people out there. You can't just ignore them.
I allowed you to speak today as a character witness, Miss Zuckerman. Your threats do nothing to enhance my perception of Miss Martin's character or of yours. I'm going to call a recess here. We'll return in 30 minutes. By which time, I expect to have the situation outside under control.
Cindy does a take of astonishment at the protest, by the way, I made a gif up. It's in the visual aids. It's like so over the top.
She really makes the absolute most of her time on screen.
She does.
As young Potter.
But well, she's acting like she looked out the window and there was a unicorn. Like it's so excessive for what's actually going on. Anyway, Felice, no surprise, is not happy about the protest in clip 29.
Donna Martin Maxwell!
Mrs. Martin.
She has
Shut
spent
up, Brandon.
The entire morning in there apologizing to the board. This little demonstration, you can be sure, has just thrown all that out the window.
Yeah, well, we all thought we needed to be here.
You all are the last thing I need here right now. Do you honestly think that anyone in there is going to respond to your threats?
Donna Martin Freshman! Donna Martin Freshman!
I'm sorry.
It really kills me that she's wrong.
I know.
And then Brandon knows she's wrong. Like...
Ugh, yeah.
Okay.
I know. Anyway, inside...
Like, crowd rules, blackmail works. Great lesson, show.
Yep. Inside, Mrs. Teasley speaks up for Donna by citing her learning disability, which is weird. A board member named Ms. Silverman points out that she missed the vote on the rule, but that they should have considered the student's reaction, like... Yes and no. The students also shouldn't have broken a rule. And Dr. Eppart can't with any of this in clip 30.
The students control the school board? I don't think so. What do they think this is, the Vietnam War? Well, I am not caving in to a bunch of hippie wannabes.
With all due respect, sir, there are over 500 students out there.
I don't care how many there are out there. We'll call parents, we'll notify colleges, recommendations will be revoked.
You can't do that.
Watch me.
I want to watch you. Why didn't you do it? I had a phone brought in. I said this in my piece, but it's like, to this day, I don't understand why he wasn't like, all right, send your rep back in.
Right.
I'm going to tell, you know, the Yaley what she's looking at.
Yeah. Yep.
And she's going to buckle because she wants to go to Yale. And everybody else is going to buckle because their parents are going to freak the fuck out.
Yeah. This is anyway, yes.
Poor Abby.
So then we cut back outside to the crowd where everyone is chanting and like amazed that shit is working, except for Brandon, who stands there with the fucking stoic, stony look on his face. You can see in the visual aids because it's so punchable.
Oh my God.
So smug. Mrs. Teasley comes out with a note from Dr. Eppart, and then fucking this happens at clip 31.
Hey, 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 everybody, everybody, shut up.
Nice leadership.
Fuck you.
Says if we drop the whole thing right now, they won't go ahead and flunk all of us.
Can they do that?
Listen, yep. I know how important Donna Martin is to all of you, but Superintendent Ephart is serious about this. And I'd hate to see you throw your entire high school careers down the drain for this.
Oh.
Tell Superintendent Ephart that summer school registration is going to break the record this year.
Tell him yourself,
Donna Martin
Pico.
Graduates.
Donna Martin graduates.
Donna Martin graduates.
Donna Martin graduates.
This song's gonna be stuck in your head for weeks. Donna Martin graduates. Even Luke Perry like can't even make Dylan sound like he gives a shit about Donna at this point. Like, whatever. This is so dumb. Ugh. Anyway, the kids pour into the building, chanting badly. This Ms. Silverman
it takes forever also. Like, it's very awkward. They're sort of like trickling in.
Yeah, the room is not obviously nearly big enough for all of them, so, you know, there's overflow. Ms. Silverman is impressed with their moxie. Brandon, for some reason, is now speaking for the group, which downgrade again in clip 32.
Superintendent Ephart.
I think we've gone a little beyond Robert's rules at this point, George. I'd like to hear what Brandon has to say.
No, you wouldn't.
No, you don't.
Now, the students have taken your threats very seriously, Superintendent Ephart. But I think you can judge by their reaction that no one's going anywhere. So unless you're prepared to call the police to make us all go home, I think you ought to take what we're saying a little more seriously.
He is prepared to call the police.
And we're all here because we believe in something. You all would have been very happy if you hadn't caught someone with an unblemished school record. Someone that you could have very easily made an example out of. That's what this rule was all about, wasn't it?
No.
However, ladies and gentlemen, you caught the wrong person. You caught someone that doesn't deserve to be treated like this. You caught our friend, Donna Martin.
Oh.
Donna Martin is the kind of girl that goes out of her way for people. That's why all these people here are going out of their way for her. We love Donna, and we're not going to see her hurt.
Thank you, Mr. Walsh.
One more thing. I don't think you're going to have much success matriculating the juniors unless you drop this whole dress code thing.
Yeah. Is that what matriculate
take
means?
That under advisement.
What?
Whoa.
I also love how he says that. Listen, Mr. Ephart. Like, it's a swear.
What is with the enunciation? It's so weird. This is also the scene in which he does it outside also, but you can barely see it. But this is where he holds up his hand and silences his many minions.
Yeah. Dave, what were you
saying? Before parting the green jacket sea and telling the superintendent of schools how some shit is going to be.
The only way that...
rule is not about that, Brandon.
The only way that pronunciation made any sense was if it followed up with, if that is your real name.
That is how he says it. Like,
yeah.
It's so obnoxious.
Although, of course it is, because Ephart, like, what an actually real name, given that everyone is named so generically on the show.
Yeah.
But I really like this message that, like, you know, we wouldn't come down here for just anyone, but because Donna was good the rest of the time.
Yeah.
And everyone loves her because she's in the popular clique. It's different. Mm-mm. And now we're going to blackmail you with a possible riot. It's just so stupid and shitty and enraging to this day.
I also don't know if it's necessarily true that she has an unblemished school record. I seem to recall her doing some cutting before her whole learning disability was discovered in season two as well. Anyway, Ms. Silverman.
Too.
That's true. Ms. Silverman is next to take the floor and sounds like she may have had two or three glasses of champagne before this hearing in clip 33.
Yeah, totally
I'd like to say that I, for one, am not prepared to call the police here today.
I'm saying.
Therefore, I move we vote to allow Donna Martin to graduate, provided she enroll in a drug and alcohol counseling program at the Maple Center. Second. I also suggest that we review the dress code situation, or we're going to have a demonstration like this the first week of school in September.
She sounds drunk, right?
Could both you, Brandon, second this motion?
Very well.
Thanks.
An aye vote signifies Miss Martin will graduate. A nay vote signifies the decision of the disciplinary committee will stand. Mr. Chang.
Nay.
Mrs. Richter.
Aye.
Ms. Silverman.
Aye.
Mr. Pula.
Nay.
Mrs. Lufrano for the final deciding vote.
I.
Don't want to be killed.
Congratulations. Things worked out okay for a drunk white girl. What were the odds? There's also a great shot in the visual aids of Dr. Eppard at the moment he realizes his empire is lost. It's kind of
poor
hilarious.
Eppy.
This poor guy. Afterwards, Steve's in clip 34.
All right, I got a great idea. Let's all get drunk.
Steve!
Fucking A, Steve.
Mrs. Teasley's right behind him. She says she'll pretend she didn't hear that and lets everyone know afternoon finals will proceed as scheduled. That goes for Donna, too, and Donna can't wait to take a test.
Because Donna's the best.
Also, she shouldn't, I mean, of course, she doesn't care about taking finals. She gets all that extra time. So then Nat congratulates Donna on her victory by, guess what, clip 35.
In honor of Donna, a piece of pie of your choice is on you-know-who.
Who? The warden at debtor's prison where you're going to be going?
I wish you
could. Oh, just kidding. Brandon won't let that happen.
I now have to note it every time that happens on the show. It really does happen a lot. Even Dave is very disgusted by it, shaking his head wearily at that clip.
You'll never be a captain of industry with that frame of mind.
No,
Nat.
It's true. So enter Brandon with Donna's cap and gown. She thanks them all for their help, and Brandon perches her hat so carefully on her crispy hair. Yeah. And that is the end of that episode. What else can we say? We said it all. This was a gross miscarriage of justice, but, you know, good for Donna, I guess. Anything else to add before we wrap it up?
No, because I'm, like, scanning through. There's so many people that I kind of want to, like, nominate for MVP. So let's get to it so I can hear your choice.
Okay. Jackie is my MVP. As I said, when she did it, she made the only good point about this whole nonsense that led her be on Donna's side and kind of be on the right side of the issue.
That is true.
She yelled at Mel on the phone.
True. I would nominate Felice, but she's being a super bitch for no reason and never ends up running for mayor. So what was the point?
Yeah.
If Eppard had stuck to even one tiny gun in his boot, I would vote for him, but I can't really. Dylan didn't stick to his guns about being like, there's no point to doing this. Don't be a moron.
Yeah.
They're like, no good choices here. So I'm going to go with Steve for that final comment. It's like, way to keep your eye on what's important.
Totally.
Also, in the last episode, when like his initial response to learning that Donna was a waste case was like, looks like you're not getting it in, Silver. Like,
totally.
Never change.
He does say
I know
that.
You won't.
Good call. All right. Least valuable player. I gotta say Donna, because I really do think it's wrong that she doesn't try to stop this protest at any point that we see. She's just like, thank you so much. Like, as opposed to being like, don't put your futures at risk for me. I did it. You know?
Yeah. Or also that her argument is like, I love high school. Don't take that from me. Like, what are you, high? Oh yeah, you are. I think it's going to shock the listeners that neither of us picked Brandon.
Yeah.
But I got to vote Eppard.
Yeah.
Bro. 9-1-1. Mm-hmm. End it.
Yeah. This is disorderly conduct. Even if you call the colleges, like, at least get them out of the vicinity so that you can have a proper meeting.
Yeah. Or, just deal with Andrea, who seems to understand how this stuff gets done because she actually goes to the fucking school board meeting she's supposed to cover because she's a proper journalist, unlike some people.
Well, speaking of which, let's go ahead and do the Moo Moo Parker Challenge. 5 ways in this episode, Brandon could have ended up dead. Why don't you start?
Trampled by the crowd because tiny.
Trampled by a crowd because tiny and in a green jean jacket because it's the 90s.
Oh, it's
they might
so
have mistaken
90s.
Him for some grass.
Yeah.
Tear gassed to death by Superintendent Epphart.
kicked out of the library onto his head for being too loud, trying to explain how protesting works to Andrea.
Inhales the fumes of Mrs. Silverman's breath, passes out and hits his head on the podium, inducing a fatal concussion.
Fantastic.
Why should I take a back seat? Because I'm a girl?
You shouldn't. It's time for our excerpt from the I Hate Brenda book, Shannon Doherty Exposed. We've moved on from the mean stuff about her looks to chapter 8, Shannon Breaks the Bank. As Shannon grew up and became involved in the entertainment business, the impression by others that she was living the good life really upset her. People think she's sitting up there in a nice house and has money, Shannon told People magazine. Somebody said that to me last night and I got really pissed off. My parents went from having money to having nothing to eating rice every single day. Dave, do you want to comment on the rice?
I like rice.
Yeah, I don't.
It's not so bad. Get some beans in there. Got a good meal.
Yeah, chives.
Got yourself a complex protein.
That's right. Yeah. With her 90210 salary, however, the rice became little more than a bed for her sushi. That's not how sushi works. Shannon has publicly complained about the tabloids reporting her salary at $12,000 per week. I'm really fed up with people printing how much I make, especially when they get it wrong. I do not make $12,000 a week. I make a lot more money than $12,000 a week. This quote is not attributed to any source, by the way. Indeed, People magazine reported her actual take per week as $17,500, which was raised to $22,500 for the 1993/1994 season. This didn't even count her income from advertising agencies for her partner participation in ads for get strap in for these 90s products, by the way, brands rather. Sassabee, remember them? Gitano.
Oh!
And Mundy for the use of her likeness in numerous 90210 products, including the Mattel Brenda dolls. Despite her substantial income opportunities, Shannon's money woes continued to plague her, even in prosperity. California United Bank, which often tolerates celebrity overdrafts up to $100,000, filed suit in May of 1993 because Doherty had not repaid $31,628.16 in bad checks written in 1991. Bank representatives claimed that they covered the checks for the bouncing star of the popular Fox TV series and then had her sign a note on January 22nd, 1992, promising to pay the money back in 5 installments. The note crumbled into a broken promise. What? After months of trying to collect, the bank took the poor to court. Unaccustomed to paying for her appearances, her absence was noted in a default judgment in favor of the bank. After she failed to appear, the Superior Court of California awarded California United a 25% levy against her weekly paycheck. Bank attorney Andy Alper exclaimed that we were lucky we were first in line and punctuated the statement with a relieved sigh. End of excerpt.
Ow.
Yeah.
She really has trouble managing her money. Yep. She's suing her managers right now because of that health insurance thing?
Yes, that's right.
Anyway, next time on Again With This, everyone's freaking out about their college choices except Dylan, who can just buy Berkeley if he wants now that his trust fund has come through. Plus, blah, 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 clip show cakes. Get all the crap and gown festivities in our visual aids, which you can find on our website at previously.tv. You can also follow us on Twitter at PreviouslyTV, me, Sarah D. Bunting, at Tomato Nation, and my fine feathered co-host, Tara Ariano, at Tara Ariano. And you can find our fine producer, David T. Cole, on Instagram, at Clark. We will see you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoonie.
All right, I got a great idea. Let's all get drunk.
Seconded.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv podcast network.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.